Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9. When you get there, we're going to start at verse 10. Whatsoever, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work nor device, and I want you to remember that word device, nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. The prophet said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of man snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your words this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless this, your servant. Anoint me, Lord God, to speak only the words you would have me to speak. I would ask, Lord, that you will bless, touch, and anoint our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we'll be able to receive it with meekness this morning. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask it in the holy name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on a one-word thought, devices. Devices. Many different types of devices. But before we can discover some of them this morning, and I say some of them because there's no way we could discover all of them, we need to get a more clear understanding of what the word devices mean. And we do that by looking first and foremost at the Word of God in the original Greek and Hebrew, and then also in the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. We'll start with the dictionary first, save the best for last. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word devices means something devised to deceive. Something devised to deceive. Something that is fanciful, sparkly, glittering. Something figurative. Well, we could preach a message on that one. Something that is desired. Here's what the Greek and Hebrew has to say in all the different definitions of the word devices. Inventions of the mind. Evil desires, and it gives a list of evil desires, incest, premarital sex, adultery, idolatry, and prostitution. Number 3, purposes or plots. Number 4, counsels or plans. And number 5, evil plans or purposes. The first device or list of devices that I want us to look at today are what are known as Satan's devices. Satan's devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul's talking here, and he says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Now, this word him here is referring to a brother in the Corinthian church that caused a lot of trouble. The Apostle Paul was moved on by the Spirit to visit this church again, but he knew that the purpose of that mission, Brother Tom, was one of exhortation and not rebuke. But he also knew that there were some things that needed to be straightened out, so he chose to write a letter first. So that's what this word him here means. For to this end also did I write, Paul says, that I might know the proof of you, speaking of the church, whether you would be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Listen to this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I want to go a step further. I want to do something kind of out of character. I want to read the same passage from a different version, only because sometimes in Paul's writings in the King James Version, you can get lost the way he puts his words in there. So I want us to get a clear understanding of what he's saying here. In the New Living Translation, in fact, I'm going to back up to verse 4 so we can get a better foundation of what's going on here. Just told you this man caused some trouble in the Corinthian church. Paul's writing a letter, and this is what he says. How painful it was for me to write that letter. Heartbroken, I cried over it. I did not want to hurt you, but I wanted you to know how very much I love you. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt your entire church more than he hurt me. Apparently, even though the Bible doesn't tell us what this man did, it had somewhat to do with the Apostle Paul in a way of an attack. But, listen to this, he was punished enough when most of you were united in your judgment against him. Now it is time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become so discouraged that he won't be able to recover. Now show him that you still love him. And then we pick up here where we was reading in the King James. I wrote to you as I did to find out if you would be obedient in all things. When you forgive this man, I forgive him also. And when I forgive him for whatever it is he needs to be forgiven of, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. Here's the last verse. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are very familiar with his evil schemes. Kind of cool, isn't it? I have, as I've told many of you before, and I actually told some here this morning, been in ministry now since the age of 7. I am 48. You can do the math. And in all that time, being around different churches, being around different people in the church, not speaking of sinners, speaking of God's people, there is one common denominator that I feel like is Satan's greatest device. And that device that he uses is disunity. I didn't live in Bible times. I didn't live back in even in the 1800s. I didn't come along until 1965. But in my day, the common denominator that I have seen run true from the Old Testament to the New and in our time as pertaining to the church world is disunity. If Satan can come in and divide, he can conquer. If he can come in where the breach is in the wall at the weakest spot, once he gets a leg in, he's got a good chance of conquering. And we can think of all the different vices that Satan uses against people. There's a lot of them. Like I said, we don't have time to go into all those this morning. But the one that I want to zero in on this morning as pertaining unto Satan's devices is this one called disunity. You see a church that has momentum, it's moving forward, people are on a mission. You're looking at a church that is unified. When you see a church that it seems like they're doing everything they can possibly do just to keep the doors open financially, and it seems like people are falling off like flies, and it seems like all that the pastor does is fight one battle after the next, there's too much disunity in the church. A while back, I preached a message, and I was talking about how God places pastors strategically in areas, just like he did with the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter when they set up these churches. God named the men to be over those churches and gave them a particular vision for that particular body of believers. And here's where the problem comes in many times. As new people come in, and sometimes, sad to say, some of those new people that come in are not new converts. They are, bless God, those that say, well, thank God, bless God, I've been in the way for 50 years and they're still in the way, Brother Archie. And what happens is they come in and rather than catch the vision of that pastor and the vision that he has for that church, they begin to go around, whether it's in a little click over here or a little click over there or on the cell phone or on Facebook or face to face, whatever the case might be. And the whispering starts. And at first it's a whisper, but once they've hit the breach, the whisper becomes a shout. Shouting match between this one and that one. But the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. I've told many a people, and I've had them tell me the same back and forth throughout the ministry. I love your brother, but I respectfully disagree with your opinion. We can agree to disagree. But I've also seen Brother Archie many times where there was such sharp contentions between brothers and sisters that it started out they couldn't even sit on the same side of the church. And eventually, they couldn't attend that church anymore. Bless God, as long as that feller's there or that sister's there, I'll never darken the doors of that church ever again. I was foolish when I was younger and made a similar statement. Guess what happened to Brother Jimmy? God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And so, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, God tuned me up. I said all of that to say this. God, there's a lot of things that God will do. And I won't say God cannot do, because God can do anything. But there's one thing God will not do by choice. And that is work through a body of believers who are not unified. I gave the illustration, I believe last year in one of my messages, about the bulls that would lock their horns in a circle and put their babies in the middle and face out towards the lions. They created a barrier to protect the weaker ones. And what Paul is saying here of this brother, he's saying, he's not telling them they were wrong because they rebuked him. He's telling him, Brother Gene, they were wrong because they took it too far. There's such a thing as calling someone aside and openly rebuking sin in a spirit of love, considering your own self, lest you also become tempted with that same fault and be discouraged. Versus someone who comes along and while they're down, Sister Robin, kick them around. Had a sinner one time look at my wife and say, I don't understand you Christians at all. When one of you get down, rather than reaching out your hand to help them, you just kick them. He said, I've been around people that have never darkened the door of a church that act better than that. But if Satan can sow disunity amongst the believers, it will not be long until they're no longer a believer. And that's what Paul is stating here. I want to key in on one key verse, and again, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. He says, I wrote to you, as I did, to find out if you would be willing to be obedient in all things. I don't know if it's just in the nature of man to pick and choose. I don't know, Brother Archie. But in God's word, we can't pick and choose. I spoke to a woman not too long ago over the holidays. And she was hung up on us preachers always preaching on the blood. And I said, well, you know, we can't tear one page out, you know, because we don't want to deal with it. I said, we're one of them churches that believes in the whole gospel. And she said, well, I just get tired of hearing the same old messages, and I believe we can transcend. I said, oh boy. The only one that's ever transcended has been Jesus Christ. We're going to transcend one of these days if we stay unified. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, one day, Sister Robin, we're going to get to transcend. But we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices, and the number one, in my opinion, is disunity. I want us to move on now, and I want you to see what these scriptures point out here as concerning man's devices. In Acts chapter 17, verse 29 says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says this: "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also, listen to this, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Can I tell you this morning, in my opinion again, the greatest device of man is vanity. Man by nature is vain. Man by nature, when I say man, I'm speaking of men and women, okay? Let's get that clear. I'm not leaving you women out by any chance. By nature, we're going to look out for number one. Now, the more we get into the Word of God, Brother John, the more the Holy Ghost begins to show us what Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples. If I, being your master and Lord, am willing to gird myself with a towel, get down on my knees and wash your stinky feet, how much more you, being the servant of your master, ought ye also to wash your brother's feet? When we say we're going to have a foot washing service, all of a sudden the crowd disappears. Nothing I don't think much more humbling than that. But man's vanity gets in the way many times. And again, we could all day long probably stand here and talk about different vices of man. But the one I want to key on here this morning is this one known as vanity. And what is so ironic to me is that one of the greatest kings in the Bible times that ever lived, and I say greatest not because he was spiritual, but because how God blessed him, was King Solomon. And we know the story how Solomon got in trouble, but even him, he himself made the statement, all is vanity. How many times have I looked at people, Sister Crystal, and told them, you've seen me do it, and I've said, why are you putting so much emphasis in this life? Why is this life so important to you when you know the Word of God says one day, very soon, everything in it is going to burn up and melt with fervent heat? And yet still, this vanity takes control of people's lives. Got to work harder to get a raise. Got to work harder to get that bass boat. I got to work harder to get a better home with a 3-car garage. 2's not enough. I got to work harder so that I can buy every one of my kids their own personal cell phone and have bling bling all over it. I better quit. I'm getting close to hobby horsing here. I don't want to do that. Jake said, vanity, all is vanity. But then I want to hit the big one here, and this is one that we'll, Lord willing, close with this one, but this is the one that I want us to really regard in our heart, because it is one that we cannot name. It is a device that cannot be named. It's known as God's devices, because no man knoweth the mind of God. Jeremiah 18, verse 11 says, "Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah." I want you to listen to this. Only 2 verses I'm going to read, and I want you to pay close attention. "And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, both sects," he said, "both Judah and Jerusalem." And this is what I want you to say. "Thus saith the Lord, behold," listen to this now, this is God talking, "I frame evil against you, and I devise a device against you." Bible never tells us what that device is. It's a supernatural device, I can tell you that. He says, "Return you." Even in that, notice what he says, Brother Gene, right after that. He says, "Return you now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." See how merciful God is? Just like he did Jonah. He said, "Go and tell that city of Nineveh, I'm going to utterly destroy them." But then what did he do? He had compassion on them, didn't he? And he spared them for another 100 years. Listen to what the people had to say to that in the next verse. "And they said," this blows my mind, this one phrase blows my mind, "there is no hope." How many Christians are saying that today? God says, "Come out from among the world and be ye separate." And Brother Gene, they say, "There's no hope. That means I can't get my tattoos. That means I can't drink my social drink." Shut up, Jimmy, you're meddling again. And they said, "There is no hope." Listen to this. "But we will walk after our own devices, And we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Can I tell you this morning that God has a device? And it is a device that there is no solution to. There is a point of no return. Now, having said that, the mercies of God are boundless. They are past understanding. I've said oftentimes, if I were God, the whole world would be in trouble. And if you were God, I'd be in trouble. There'd be a lot of people with their crossbows on this little short fat feller. I'm going to shut him up for good. But listen to me. God has a device. Even though he's a God of love and even though his mercy endures forever, there will come a time when the breath of life will leave you. Up until that time, Sister Teresa, God is a loving God and he's constantly knocking on the hearts of people. Come back, come back, come back. I'll close on this note. I want to leave this thought in your mind. How many, by show of hands, first of all, are parents? Okay, put your hands down. How many, by show of hands, are not parents? All right. You probably won't be able to relate to this. I hope maybe you can, but you parents, I want you to think about something. Think about your pick. If you don't have a pick, think about your kids. And I want you to think about one of your children. And in your mind, I want you to picture them coming to you and asking your forgiveness over and over and over again. And you continue to forgive them over and over and over again, only to watch them repeatedly go back to the vomit that they came out of, go back to the pig mire that they once washed themselves of and go right back to it, to go back to the snare that the devil had for them. And think how you feel in your heart when you know, Brother Francis, that you have the answer for your child and yet they will not hearken to your voice. How much sorrow it brings to the heart of a parent when you know what's best for that child and they cannot see it for themselves. Now, if you can picture that, maybe you can get a glimmer of how heartbroken God becomes every time, Brother Mike, he knocks on the heart and they say, no, thank you. I'm going to do it my way. There's no hope in your way. Because your way says, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do the other thing. But my way says, I'm unbridled. I can do whatever seems right in my own mind. And it is a lie straight from the pits of hell. It is a device devised by Satan himself to not only bring disunity to the body of Christ, but through God's very creation, man, to consume people in vanity. One day very soon, God is bringing a device. And until that day comes, he's continually pouring out his love. For God so loved the world, you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your words this morning. We are not ignorant, Lord, to Satan's devices. Help us to always be unified as one body. Lord, you told us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's nothing your body cannot achieve when they're unified. I pray that these words will find lodging in their heart this morning. And I give you the praise for it in the holy name of Jesus. I wonder, while every head's still bowed and eyes are closed, would there be one here this morning? And they're, you know, I do this every service because I don't want to take a chance and leave here and not do it. But maybe you've never prayed and asked God into your heart at any time in your life. Now I'm speaking to the out and out sinner, someone who's never asked Jesus in their heart ever. Would there be one here this morning like that? Would slip up their hand and say, you know, I don't want to leave here this morning. Thank you.
whiskey could be sold in our hometown. 'Cause the folks there in those parts, they stood old-fashioned ground until the day they all voted and they made it county-wide that they could sell the alcohol. Now we're no longer dry. Well, some things change, but some things never do. Wrong is still wrong, but right is still the truth. It's been written in stone, there's no need to be confused. Some things change, but some things never do. Down at the old courthouse, there's a couple of guys demanding that our government should see love through their eyes. And they say, hey, it's all normal, it's just an alternate lifestyle. But what did our God say? He told us in his word, marriage is between one husband and one wife. Well, some things change, but some things never do. Wrong is still wrong, but right is still the truth. It's been written in stone, there's no need to be confused. Change, but some things never do. Now they're marching in the streets, fighting for their rights. And in the name of freedom, they've taken unborn life. Who's gonna stand up for that unheard voice and tell them in the name of Jesus? Choice. Well, some things change, but some things never do. Wrong is still wrong, but right is still the truth. It's been written in stone, there's no need to be confused. Some things change, but some things never do. We call it progress. We're making four lanes out of two, out past the edge of town, where that little white church is still telling the truth. And they preach, hell hot, heaven's high, repent today and be saved. 'Cause no matter how wide they make that road, you still gotta walk the narrow way. Well, some things change, but some things never do. Still the truth, it's been written in stone. There's no need to be confused. Some things change, Lord, but some things they never do. It's been written in stone, underlined in red by the blood of Calvary. Yeah, some things change, some things never, never do. I'm so glad that God never changes.
You've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.